Good to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here. We're going to begin our praise, number 523, Trusting in Jesus. Let's stand, please, as we sing. What a great hymn of testimony and praise. It's a hymn that you cannot sing, but that you step out in faith, knowing that we can't trust Him apart from the grace and the enlightenment that He gives us from His Word. We might not see and know the way forward, but we can rest that we trust in a God who knows the end from the beginning. And that's our hope and our joy tonight. Let's bow, please, before God in prayer. Father, we do give thanks this evening for the joy and blessing of being in your house, the house of prayer and of praise. And Lord, tonight once more we open our hearts in thankfulness. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are indebted for every breath that we have to breathe. It comes, Lord, from your gracious hand. Every heartbeat we know, Lord, is from your mercy to us. Our times are in your hand. And Lord, we rest ourselves in that truth. And we can dare say, simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Lord, that's our prayer tonight and our desire and our hope. We ask that you would strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Lord, we all suffer at times, it seems, from weakness of heart. Our minds become weary. The circumstances of life weigh us down. But Lord, just at those times, I pray that our faith would be strengthened, our eyesight would be fastened upon our risen Redeemer, our soon coming King. Blessed Lord Jesus, our hope is centered in the fact that we know that we are saved. We know our sins have been forgiven. Lord, we know we have a home in heaven, and we know that very soon we will all be there in glory. For our lifetime is but a vapor that appears for a little time, Lord, and then vanishes away. And it's only what is done for Christ that will last. Therefore, give us, we pray, an eternal vision. Help us to see by faith the greater picture, and let not to be so concerned overly much with this life and these matters that so often trouble us. Lord, we pray that we will walk by faith and not by our human sight. Encourage our hearts, build us up, carry us forward. Let this congregation be as a bright beacon, flashing out the light of truth and of hope and of the eternal blessedness that there is in knowing Jesus. Let that be radiating from us, from this house, from this place, as the Word of God goes out over the airwaves. Lord, be pleased to take and use, not for our honor, not for the extension of a church per se, but Lord, that the name of Thine only begotten Son, the name of Jesus our Lord, would be glorified. Father, help us, we pray, and strengthen our weak hearts. We know, Lord, there are burdens that are upon us, and we pray for those things that are affecting us day by day. Health of loved ones. Remember again Jennifer in hospital. Father, come very near to her, we pray, and put your healing hand upon her. Remember our sister Serene. I'm thankful that Ron is here tonight. Encourage him, build him up, touch his body. Many elderly, senior ones, and others with perhaps health matters that we don't know anything about. Lord, we're thankful that nothing escapes your notice, your view, your oversight. Especially, Lord, we would say when it comes to those who are called, chosen, and faithful, you're redeemed. And dear Father, tonight I pray that we will be able to reflect the light and the beauty of Jesus day by day. Bless us now for our evening service. Remember, as we open the Scriptures, read the Word, as we study again the life of your faithful servant Daniel and all the impact that his life had on others around him, in the society, the community that he lived in, the light that he used, that he shone forth of the love of God in his heart. Lord, teach us from these studies, I pray. And dear Father, remember again the urgent need of the church in Ukraine now. We pray for the Sloan family, that you would bless them and you would strengthen and help them. And Father, others who are faithful pastors of the Word, preachers and teachers of the Scripture, Lord, let the Christian church and the life of believers be a very strong testimony and that which will echo forth to everyone around them. Lord, bring peace, we pray, to the troubled land. Again, we ask for the defeat, the turning back, the aggression of evil and wicked powers. Lord, we just give this whole matter into your hand and pray that we will know how to pray, that we will know how to intercede, that, Lord, we will be faithful in laying hold upon your your name. So, Lord, be with us now tonight. Bless us in Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Let's sing again, please, to the Lord's praise, Psalm 121. We'll stand as we sing. I don't know if Daniel and his friends were singing that psalm. I would say that they would, if not openly, part of the songs of praise as they would go up to Jerusalem and go up to the feast times, and yet during captivity when they did not have that privilege, yet still those things were in their hearts. And those psalms of praise to God, I to the hills will lift mine eyes. Of course, they weren't singing in English. They were singing in Hebrew. We know that. But however they were singing it, it was to the praise of the Lord's great name. Please turn in your Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. This short psalm is packed full with encouragement for the child of God. Verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention of his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. One of the blessings that the believer has is to know that Christ lives in us, and the blessing of the water of salvation that he has given to us. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come and drink, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. out of the life of the child of God. And dear friend, tonight, as you have taken what it says in verse 3, with joy, drawing water out of the wells of salvation. Well, this is not speaking about a temporal, physical well. It's speaking about spiritual blessings and the thirst that will be quenched by the waters of God to us. What blessing, what joy. Let us say tonight before God, Lord, we want to drink deeply at your well in order that from us would flow out of our life blessing and refreshment, spiritual encouragement to others around us. Yes, there is enough to cast down people and make them frustrated and discouraged. No sooner do we come out of COVID and we're into the world issues that are upon us today, and it seems one thing after another. Well, it's no different in our time than it has been in any other century for the Church of Christ and for the child of God. Therefore, we will lift up our eyes by faith. We will walk before the Lord in the joy and blessing of His light on us. And be encouraged, believer, tonight. Whatever and wherever you are, cast your eyes and your heart upon Him and say, Lord, let from my life, through whatever circumstance I'm going through now, let from my life flow out the joy and the blessing of the water of life to others. May God encourage your heart and each one of us tonight. Welcome to our evening service. We are thankful that you're here, and we're glad if you're a regular here, you will know that our morning and evening services are vastly different. Sometimes folks will ask me, oh, is the evening service the same as the morning service, just repeated with different people? No, that's not the case for us, and we do enjoy the opportunity of coming once more to make the Lord's day a full day, and we want to enjoy all of His day and give it to Him, and therefore we come to His house in the evening time as well, in order that we might sing praises, hymns of praise to His name, reading the Scriptures, and looking at the Word of God, and praying it will be a blessing to every heart. So welcome, certainly also the folks online tonight. We're happy that you're here. Let's continue to hold up, please, those who are in need of our prayers. We ask for the Lord's hand to be upon our sister Jennifer. She is still in the hospital, still sedated, still on the ventilator, and we do pray that God will have mercy upon her and touch her, and the many others in our congregation, and also the elderly. We want to ask the Lord to bless and encourage them. Please remember the ministry that's going on in this incoming week. Right after the service tonight, we have a session meeting, and if you are here in the church and you did not receive the nomination paper, if you're a member, you can get one from one of the elders tonight there at the door. And the nomination for our deacon's election that will be coming up, Lord willing, in the month of May. So we would like you to take one of those nomination papers, and it's the instructions are on there. And then please bring it back and give it to Brother James Fraser next Lord's Day in the morning or evening services. And then we will begin the process of going through those and making preparation for the upcoming election. Wednesday evening, well, Tuesday, first of all, we have a finance committee meeting at 3 in the afternoon on Zoom. And then on Wednesday, our Bible study and prayer time at 7:30. There will be the Sunday school teachers prayer meeting also on Wednesday night. Thursday, I omitted mentioning this morning, but our session and board will be meeting for the monthly time at 6 and 7:30. And then our services next Lord's Day at the same time, Sunday school in the morning at 9:55, and our morning service at 11, and then at 6:30. Do you remember our brother Alec Newell? Our brother preached this morning via Zoom for the Cloverdale congregation, and he'll be taking the service tonight at 9 o'clock. Last Wednesday night, following our prayer meeting, we had the annual general meeting for Cloverdale. And it was a blessed time, and hearing the reports The Lord has blessed them. And this has been 1 year anniversary. It was exactly to the day, March the 2nd, from the time of the AGM last year for them and the departure of Reverend Gollaher as he retired from that work. Well, we've endeavored to fill the pulpits there one way or another. And the Lord is helping us. We have plans for some summer. Men will be coming for the summer and helping there too. But do remember them. It's hard going when the congregations go on for a length of time without a minister. It's not easy for them, and we pray that God will help and encourage them, and not to lose heart, but to pray on. Now, one of the blessings of not having a pastor is you get to hear a lot of other people you wouldn't normally hear, and so that has been something that they have marked as an encouragement, and it has been a strength for them. They've heard quite a variety of our ministers that have been able to share the Word of God, and elders as well. Well, those are all the ministry announcements we have to share with you. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise, and while we do that, we'll remain seated. Number 524, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. And if the Lord has touched your heart, I mean, for our regular people, I'm talking about offerings. You know the plates on the door, and you know the routine and the way you can give to the Lord's work here, either by mailing your check in or doing it with a card or doing an e-transfer. Those are opportunities we have today. And if you would like to make an offering, you can do that in the plate on the table as you're leaving today. Remaining seated, please, while we sing. Please turn to Daniel chapter 1 in your Bibles. We have been hovering over this chapter for a few weeks now in our study, as it is taken time to set the foundation for our study. And there is so much, well, just as the book of Genesis provides the beginnings for all of the scripture, so the first chapter and the events that have transpired in the life of Daniel and his friends are so important for us to get the picture of how their life would unfold in Babylon. So we're reading tonight in chapter 1 from verse number 8 down to 21. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and of the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Join me in prayer, please, that the Lord would help us and bless His word to us tonight. Father, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, open the Scriptures to our hearts. Things on the surface may appear very clear, straightforward, but what we need, Lord, is the Spirit of God to apply the truth and fasten it to our hearts so that we will grow in grace, that we will become more like our Lord, that we will humble and submit ourselves to thy holy will as Christ Jesus did in his life, saying, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, increase our faith, strengthen our resolve, forward us in the purpose that you have intended in our life. Hear our prayers now, we ask, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Well, what has come very clearly to us in our study and in this account in chapter 1, we have dealt last week with the standing on purpose that Daniel did as he made his request before the head of the eunuchs. I want to think tonight specifically on the testimony that Daniel and his three friends had, and how that they were conspicuous in their testimony. It was not something that was hidden away. Their testimony was not in the back closet. It wasn't in the trunk. Their testimony was out front. It was conspicuous, clearly seen by everyone who was in that place at that time. We know that the guiding hand of the Lord was upon Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah when they were taken captive from their homeland and they were put into a foreign place. They were forced in their labor. They found themselves in that hostile nation, but they realized very soon that God had allowed that to happen in their lives. And surely they had the same faith that Joseph had when he had been sold into Egypt by his brothers. And after the years that he had been there, and the way he had gone down into prison, been exalted to the second position in the whole empire of Egypt next to Pharaoh, and when his brethren came to buy food, and all this, the unfolding of that scenario. When Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he was able to say this: "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." I suggest to you that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had the same faith of Joseph. They knew that it was God's allowance, providence, sovereign purpose that they would be found at this time in Babylon, in captivity. And though there may have been evil intention in the forces of darkness, yet the Lord overruled. And he would make it for good for them and for others who would be blessed by their life and their conspicuous testimony. The question comes to us: how then are we to live when the unseen forces of righteousness and also of evil and darkness, when they are at work behind the scenes, and you cannot tell, and I cannot tell, what will be the next event, how the next scene will unfold, we don't know. But there is exactly the same situation that we will find ourselves in: to rest in the Lord, to trust in Him with all our hearts. As Isaiah 12 tells us, "The Lord, Jehovah, is my strength. He is my song." Psalm 121, "I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid? And I will trust and not be afraid." It can only be, my dear brothers and sisters, a life that is walked by faith. Faith in the Lord. Faith in the purposes that God has for us. For He has saved us from our sins, and He has promised to keep us all the way through this life, right up unto the river of death, and to bring us safely across into glory for eternity. And it is this Lord that we are able to trust at all times. We are able to stand for Him and to come with our hearts open and with personal conviction and with resolute purpose that we will live to the honor of the Savior in our time, today, right now. And that, my dear sister and brother, is what the Lord calls us to do. But we know our flesh is weak, don't we? And yet small faith in a great God is what is needed. And this is the vibrant example that's given to us through Daniel and his friends. The appointed provision from Nebuchadnezzar's table was set before them, and the trial or the testing and the education period of 3 years, well, it would be given as a testing time. They were to be educated in the learning, in the knowledge of the Chaldeans, and of course they were to be as healthy as possible. They were well favored, the scripture tells us. They were set apart because they had been given those gifts and talents from the Lord, and the intention of being brought into Babylon now was that they would be lavished with all of the best things that Babylon had to offer them, so that they would be brought on board. They would be not really treated like slaves. No, they were going to be treated like citizens and exalted citizens, because Babylon knew that you're going to get more out of these people if they are going to be the best of the best, and they're going to be treated and trained and taught in learning and knowledge well. They would be of greater advantage. You see, my friends, that's the work very often of the evil one, to lavish good things upon people, or at least with the promise that there will be benefits following the indulging and the taking of what the world has to offer. Let's beware of the spirit, that spirit of Babylon. But these men had convictions. They believed in something that was outside of themselves. And they determined to stand for God on purpose for the Lord whom they loved and who they served. And the Holy Spirit has included these details to impress upon each one of us that serving God means standing for Him and letting our light shine. Their testimony was conspicuous. It was not something for show. It wasn't boastful, but it was for them a quiet determination. It was for them that which was reasonable. And they had been touched by God. The Lord was directing them, and they were going to let that light shine even in the place where they were. May God help us tonight and allow this truth to be reinforced into our hearts so that we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We will not be fearful of the face of men. We don't know how we're going to be attacked. We don't know how we're going to be maligned. We don't know what obstacles or persecutions we might face. Neither did Daniel or his friends, but they knew that in the place where they were, they could still allow their testimony to be bright. And I pray that as their testimony was open and obvious, so ours will be conspicuous before a world that is very accusing and critical. Please notice, in the first place tonight, they were very conspicuous in their stand. In verse 8, which we were dealing in greater detail with last Lord's Day, we're told that they requested that they might not defile himself. Specifically, this is referring to Daniel, that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. You know, we learn from this that when he took his stand, it was a request that he made before the prince of the eunuchs. It wasn't something that he demanded, though in his heart, I tell you, there was a resolve. He was not going to be eating that food, even if they opened his mouth and tried to stuff it down. No, his resolve was very clear, but he presented it in a way that was humble. It was a way that was graceful. It did not seem perhaps unreasonable, even to Ashpenaz or Melzar. Now, they were not in agreement with what they were suggesting because they feared for their own life. This point is worth emphasizing and re-emphasizing in our own lives because, well, we're faced with various circumstances in which we will have to take our stand for the Lord today. It may be with an employer that wants you to cheat for them. What about friends that would encourage you to compromise your faith? What about family members that tempt you to remain quiet when there is a voice that should be raised? And I know you realize there are many other circumstances that we could cite. Dear friends, how are we going to react and respond at such a time? It may be within our power to simply walk away and not be taken in by those times of temptation, but it may not be our opportunity. Daniel and his friends couldn't just walk away. Their stand and their testimony for the Lord, it had to be slightly different. It had to take a different tack. And when you're involved in circumstances in your life, your stand for the Lord may not always be the same each and every time. It may well be the Lord will open up a door for you to make that stand with a silent witness. It may be a vocal witness. It may be a witness by the way in which you respond or I respond. Whatever is the case, friend, are we prepared not to defile ourselves? Are we prepared to take our stand and do that which is right for the honor of the Lord? You know, whether or not we are about the Lord's business or our own business, and when I say that, I know that we're ultimately always to be about the Lord's business. But you understand what I mean. If we're involved in something very specific that would be identified as the Lord's business, or we're about our own life day by day, we must always be careful that our reactions are not carnal, but they are godly. So I ask you, you're driving along and someone cuts you off on the road. I wonder sometimes about the heated rebuke that may come from within your car toward that other driver. And it might not be so charitable. It may not be so Christian-like if others could hear. And I have to confess, I've been in the same boat myself when someone does something, and it's easy to let the temperature rise up very quickly. And we have to be very careful. Because, I mean, we might be alone in our car, and that's bad enough, but it may well be that there are other people in the car, and they see that reaction too. There's just one little situation. How that if we are not possessing ourselves, if we are not careful, if we don't keep ourselves in check in that way, it may be easy to allow the old temper to get the better part of us. We must be careful about that. You know, when we have an opportunity to take a stand for the Lord, let's pray that we will do it graciously, that we will be magnificent for the Lord when it comes to this time of being militant for the Lord. Dr. H.C. Spence wrote that hymn with that very theme. We stand as soldiers for the King of Glory. The message of the Bible we proclaim. We stand redeemed from sin because of Calvary. We march to battle now in Jesus' name. But though we fight against this world of evil, though militant against apostasy, we want to be magnificent for Jesus, the Spirit of the truth we want to see. Let us always be thinking, friends, when we must let our witness be conspicuous for the Lord and let our stand be true, that we are doing it not with carnal reactions, that we don't allow our stand or our good cause to be ruined by our bad manners or our bad behavior. And say, Lord, keep us and teach us these very lessons about how these men took their stand for the Lord. They stood out in Babylon, no doubt, like sore thumbs. Fellow Jews would have been staring at them and questioning, who do you think you are? What are you doing? Questioning their motives. Accusations of being troublemakers or causing problems for others. And if they would only have just been quiet, just conformed a little, then it would be easier for the rest of us. This problem in this place is hard enough and you're going to make it 10 times worse. I wondered if they used that 10 times. They were conspicuous in their stand. And friends, whatever the majority view is in our life, whatever labels may be hurled against us, let us not fear those things, but rather let us stand and to be open and upfront and not think of trying to hide our light, because we believe in the cause and we believe that there is a long-term purpose that God has for us. And therefore, let us stand for the Lord with an open and an honest and an upright spirit. Please notice, the second thought is that they were conspicuous by their advantage. Conspicuous by their advantage. Look at verse 9. It says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. They had an advantage. And the advantage right away was that they had been singled out by Ashpenaz. They had been, in a sense, set apart. And it would have been very clear, undoubtedly, by the others who were there, that there was a favorable spirit that was from Ashpenaz toward Daniel and the three men. And I suggest to you that this was God's doing. This was of the Lord, because very clearly in verse 9, it says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love. Psalm 75 and verse 6 tells us that promotion cometh neither from the east or the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, and he setteth up another. And the Lord's hand of blessing was upon those young men. Remember, they were teenagers. 17 years of age, quite practically around that area. They were young people, but they had a heart for God, and the Lord had set them apart. He had promoted them or lifted them up. And so it was God's doing that he opened the heart of this man Ashpenaz. He did not know God. He was a Babylonian, a Chaldean. He did not know them before they came to Babylon. But they were set under his charge. And the Lord had gone in front of them. Friends, understand this and know that when you have been given some blessing, some open door, some opportunity, don't think for a moment it's because you're a nice person or because you're well favored or you're nice looking or something else about that, but know very humbly and specifically it is God's good hand upon you. And he is going in front and he is opening up the door and he's touching the hearts of people. This is exactly what happened. We're told in the scriptures, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You couldn't find a better description than we have in front of us for that verse of scripture. Now, you might think, well, how much of an enemy was Ashpenaz or Melzar? They were just servants of Babylon. Yes, but they were indeed that, servants of Babylon, representatives of Nebuchadnezzar, who was the oppressive king at that time, who had invaded Israel, who had taken them captive. They knew they were in not a friendly place. But God opened the heart of even that man who looked favorably toward them. Friend, when you and I are in places not of our own doing, not the place we would have desired to be, leave your matter at the foot of the Lord. Leave your purpose and your calling and your current circumstances in the hands of God. He is the one who goes in front of his children. It is the Spirit of God that leads us. As we have Christ's Spirit in us, as we're guided by the Holy Spirit of God, we can walk by faith. And we can say, Lord, you go in front. You make the crooked ways straight, and you make the rough places plain. And I will trust, Lord. And even when the places are not so straight and very rough for us, and we don't understand, can we trust the Lord then and say, yes, Father, it is all of the doing of our God. But we also notice that they were publicly recognized and honored. This again, friends, was not of their doing. The fact that they had been lifted up or given a place of prominence, we don't know exactly how that would have materialized, but it was enough for the Lord to tell us they were brought into favor and tender love. There was a heart that was open toward them, and the authorities were warmed toward them. This was publicly recognized. And the fact that they were honored and set apart could not help but be noticed by those around. There can be a plus and a minus to that. There can be all those who say, wow, God is really blessing them. Maybe some of the children of Israel might have also said that. Well, look at Daniel and his friends. For some reason, they've been set forward. And it's recognized publicly. It could be seen. It was evident. Why? Well, their testimony was conspicuous. And the fact that they had been publicly lifted up and exalted, that was conspicuous. It was very open. And they were honored. What does God say? Them that honor me, I will honor. This stand or position that these four men had did not come as a snap when they got into Babylon. This was who they were before they were taken out of Israel. I believe this is what they were trained and brought up in as young men, because they feared God and they honored His word. They would not defile themselves with the king's food because they trusted in the word of God and they wanted to keep that word. But we also notice that there were right people in the right place. This was not something that happened like out of the blue. This was not an accident that just kind of they stumbled onto here in this circumstance. As a matter of fact, we could say very clearly, it was not by chance. There is a book, I have not read it yet, but it has been recommended to me by a man called Latham Tarbert. And he wrote a book called Not by Chance. And it would be good reading, because what it attempts to do is to trace that the events in this world are overseen by a greater hand and a greater mind, a sovereign and supreme mind. I can remember in our church here, up in that upper room, Bob Jones Jr., who was here for a special fundamentalist conference that we had, and he said three times in the events of different meetings that he was taking and speaking in, he said, "The older I get, the more of a Calvinist I become." Now, that was interesting. If you know anything about Bob Jones, they're not Calvinistic per se. And from Dr. Jones Jr., he was recounting, as he looked back on his life, he was an older man at this time, and he looked back in his life and he weighed up things that happened, events that occurred. And those single events, they changed the whole forward course of his life. And he imagined that if something had happened, that he had gone in a slightly different turn, things would have been completely different. And he said, "How could this be? Was it because of my ingenuity or my education?" No. He had to rest and say, "This is by a greater hand guiding my life. Not by chance, friends." And in the case of these four men brought into Babylon, the right people were put in the right place for them at the right time. And this was the overseeing purpose of God. This is the same God, my dear brothers and sisters, that is overseeing our lives. We are not just aimlessly going down a road, but the Lord is overseeing our steps. Are we resting in this truth tonight? Have we humbled ourselves to the point of saying, "Lord, please take absolute control of my steps, my ways. Lord, open the right door for me. And please, Lord, close the doors that you don't want me to go through." Because when we are seeing our life and God's purpose unfolded before us, we will know it's not by chance. I know that everyday life is something we may not be just weighing up these things every day. You know, you go to the grocery store, you're doing your shopping, you buy the same groceries you bought the last week or something like that, and you seem to go through the checkout, and there's so many things that happen in a day, and you don't weigh up the fact that, is the Lord directing my way, my steps? Yes, friends, He is directing our way and our steps. Because when you hit that untimely red light, and you've already had 3 red lights, and you hit a 4th one, and you say, what is going on here? Is no one timing these lights properly to that, to why you got green lights? Maybe, friend, that 4th red light has stopped you because you are not moving down the road and to be another kilometer down the road where some unforeseen event would take place. Can we rest and know that God is overseeing our way? Notice, please, in the 3rd place, they were conspicuous in their separation. In verse 12, very clearly, Daniel said, prove thy servants. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee. Now we're brought face to face again with the humility of God's servant. As he said, prove thy servants, I ask you. I humbly and solemnly request to you, let this be done. Prove your servants for 10 days. They were standing out now very clearly in their separation. Daniel had determined he was not going to defile himself and his friends with him. Now he has had the kickback from Ashpenaz and Melzar saying, well, if you do this, then you're going to be weaker, more sickly looking. Your faces are going to be sad. That's when it said when they're less good looking or less likely. It's sad countenance. And you may remember in the days of Ezra that it was really illegal for a cupbearer or anyone in the king's presence to have a sad countenance. And if that was the case, it could have meant death. It was serious. And so Ashpenaz knew that if these guys didn't have a good, healthy look about them, there's trouble. And that was the kickback that he gave. So Daniel says, prove, I beseech thee, your servants, 10 days. Why 10 days? How did he come up with this figure? Why not 15 days? Why not 20 or 5? Well, quite clearly, the Bible does not tell us why these 10 days were chosen. But I suggest to you, it wasn't some figure that Daniel just kind of pulled out of the sky and said, well, let's try 10 days. No, I believe that you have to come to the conclusion that God put it into his mind because Daniel was in communication with the Lord. And there are ways and events that as we humbly come before those in our life to take our separation stand, we may not clearly understand every detail. But God is going in front of us, friends. And He is making that way very clear and precise. Because there was no equivocation in the mind of this man. It was a humble approach he had. It was a precise approach. Prove your servants for a period of time. And it was, you can understand, in all reasonableness. Like, could you imagine if he had said, well, prove us 3 months? 3 months, you could be dead in 3 months if you're not eating the right food. But 10 days, it was going to be a miracle. Because just 10 days of them eating pulse, where are they getting the protein from? Not eating the meat from the king's table and all of the other benefits that they would have had? But in 10 days, it was going to be something miraculous and the evidence of blessing upon them that they would be more conspicuous in their appearance. It was by faith, friend, that Daniel suggested this. And they were going to take their stand and be noted now being separated from the rest of the people who were there. And it was by faith that he was depending on the Lord to make the difference. Now, could you have imagined that after 10 days, if they had not been better, fairer, what would have been the outcome? It would have been altogether different than what we're reading here. When we are brought to the time and the occasion, the opportunity of taking our stand for the Lord, we must realize, dear brothers and sisters, that this stand of separation, that it will be open and clearly seen, and it must be taken by faith. It's not bravado. It's not bravery. But it is by faithful obedience to God and walking in the center of His will. But in the fourth place, they were conspicuous in their success. Please look at verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances, their faces, their appearance, their well-being appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. This was an evidence that God had blessed them and answered their request. And they were now seen to be fairer and fatter than others. Now, if you were to, husbands, if you were to use this as a compliment to your wife, that I think you've been into the pulse, you look fairer and fatter than you did 10 days ago, it might not turn out so well for you. I would recommend you don't do that. Well, the fairer part might be okay, but the fatter part, no, that won't work. So you better leave that one aside. But nonetheless, this was the evidence that these brethren, these men, they looked different. They just looked better. It almost looked like they had been to the gym, maybe. They'd been doing some workout and some weightlifting. It was just better for them all around. Why? We know why. Because their success, their blessing, was from the hand and direction of their God. The Lord had raised them to a place of prominence before Ashpenaz and Melzar, and now the real rubber meets the road evidence was there. And so Melzar, he took the food away, the king's meat. He said, "That's it. That convinces me. You're better off just eating the pulse and water." And so he took the king's meat away. And the blessing of God upon that meager diet was far better than all the rest that held the rich food of the kingdom. And you know, that tells us, friends, that it's God's hand upon our life that blesses us with health and strength. Now, I know we are to eat sensibly and have the best food, eat the right diet. But sometimes we can think that it's all up to us, that we're going to make it and be healthier and better off by all the things that we do ourselves correctly. But you know, at the end of the day, it is the blessing of God upon His people. It's the Lord's hand upon us whereby we will thank Him for His mercies. And equally so, my friends, we have to understand and know that there are times when the Lord may take us by a different path. And it may well be that we don't have the best of health. We've been praying so much for our sister Jennifer. And in God's purpose and providence, He has allowed her to be in the hospital for 5 weeks now. And our hearts are heavy about that. And we are weighed down, calling on the Lord to intervene in this position. But are we prepared to say that God has forgotten His child? Never. Are we prepared to say that the hand of the Lord is not upon her? No, in no way. But her pathway is different at this point in time. But it's not by chance. It is by the overseeing hand and eye of our great God. And the final point I leave with you tonight is that they were conspicuous in their exaltation. In verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all wisdom and learning. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And the rest of the verses of the chapter go on to tell us how that they were exalted. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. I don't think they were dummies to begin with, but the fact that they had grown and they had capabilities and they were blessed with this learning and knowledge, the hand of the Lord was upon them. They had honored God in their stand and faithfulness, and the Lord was honoring them. But do you notice something here, that God made a distinction between Daniel and the other three, because they all had knowledge and skill, but specifically we are told that Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Why did God give something more to one than the others? Ah, there's a great word there for us. Here in this very context, the Lord intended to raise Daniel for a greater purpose. And He was going to use Daniel among all different empires and kings that would come, because we're told in the last verse of this chapter that he continued unto the year of Cyrus. And in our lives, friends, some will be given things that we don't have. Some might be lifted up in God's way. Do you not think that the 12 apostles would have asked the question, why do Peter, James, and John, how come they get to go up to the Mount of Transfiguration and the rest of us have to stay down here? And the Lord did that. And He did it on more than one occasion. And friends, we learn a lesson that each of us are dealt with as individuals before God. And His blessings on your life and the way He is directing you, it may be different than someone else, but it's the hand of the Lord. And don't be frustrated. Don't have a complaining or a jealous spirit about that. But just rather rejoice that God knows best and He's doing what is right. But they were also very conspicuous in their exaltation before the king himself, because when it comes to verse 18 down to verse 20, they were found to be 10 times better than all of the others, than all of the magicians, all of the soothsayers that were in Babylon. 10 times better. It's not by accident that they had been tried for 10 days. And I think there's a little smile we can say from the Lord. Not only 10 days are you going to be tested, but I'm going to make you 10 times better. And this was the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar himself. It may not always be this way, friends, but we rest in this truth that God's ways and thoughts, they're higher than ours. They are not the same as ours. Not the same for each person in that time, and certainly not in each century right down to our day today. As we conclude our message tonight, there are just 5 simple points I leave with you. They'll come up on the screen behind me. The first one is this. What do we learn from this tonight? We learn that there is a cost in taking a stand for God. And we ask ourselves, are we prepared and ready to count that cost? Secondly, we can trust that God is working behind the scenes in our lives for our good and for His glory. Thirdly, that God's gifts and talents do not replace personal responsibility. I don't believe for a moment that these men were negligent in their schoolwork, in their studies. They were in Babylon and learning. They were at the top of the class because they tried hard. And the Lord's blessing was on them, no doubt. But they took their responsibilities seriously. In the fourth place, advancement before men is no reason for pride or boasting. It was clear God had raised them up and God had given them understanding. And they could be thankful for that without any tinge of pride or boasting. And the last part, let us determine that we will live for the glory of Jesus every day, submitting to His greater plan and the great purpose that He has. And so as we close tonight, I just say to you, maybe you're not a Christian here. You're not a believer. Is it not time for you to step out and trust Daniel's God, the God of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah? It's time, friend. For now is the accepted time. Behold, God has given you this day of salvation. Come to Him now. Call upon the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sin, and you will find Him to be a Savior for your soul and the one that will set you on the course of eternity, and that heaven will be your home. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I pray tonight that these lessons, Lord, that seem to be often so hard to sink into our hearts and minds, that we would be indeed open to receive them. I pray for the youth here, the teenagers. I ask, Lord, for Your hand of blessing to be upon them, to lead them in their lives, to open the right doors, to give hearts willing to serve. And I pray, dear God, that each one of us, old or young, we would walk in Your ways, and we would see Your everlasting and eternal purposes working out day by day in our lives, knowing, Lord, it's not by chance. We rest in Your love and in Your purpose. So part us now in Your fear with Your rich blessing. Keep us. Ah, yes, Lord, we pray that some soul tonight would come to trust in the Savior as their own. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.